Hey, good morning again, everybody. Welcome to the journey. Today is our beginning. I should say, welcome to your journey, because that's what we're hoping that everybody will today will find their place in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll find this is a personal adventure, not something that we invited you to just join with a bunch of other people. You know, there's things that we do that even though a lot of people are there, the crowd is huge, we find that it's very, very individual, and that's what I hope your experience will be today through the journey. Now, we understand that every journey has to have a beginning, and that's what today is all about. Every day has a sunrise. Every race has a start. Every life has a birth, and every journey has a beginning. So we're inviting you to be a part of that. I just want to make sure that by definition, if you will, or description, that we remind ourselves that this journey is about discipleship. You know, a lot of churches don't talk about the blood of Jesus Christ a whole lot because they're worried that it offends somebody or it kind of makes them feel a little uncomfortable. We don't talk about the cross a whole lot because it's associated with death and it's associated with a whole couple lot of things that Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. If you follow me, then take up your cross and follow me. So we kind of dumb down or soften the gospel so people will feel a little bit easier with it. That same word, discipleship, sometimes falls in that category. What does that really mean? And every time I've heard of discipleship, it's been fashioned in such a way through the church that it made me uncomfortable. I had to go to a meeting or whatever. And today I just want you to, if you can, just for the next few moments, just get all of that out of your mind so that the Lord can just tell you what he wants your discipleship to be as we join in this journey together. For the next 10 weeks, we're just going to look at the lessons and the experiences and the changes that happened in the disciples and just ask the question, is that something that God wants to do in me? I think that's where we're headed. But every journey has a beginning. So let's look at some of the first men that Jesus called to follow them in discipleship. We find it first in John, the first chapter, verse 35 through 39. The Bible says, John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And then there's another one over in Mark, the first chapter. This is where Peter gets into the picture. It says, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, we just have these little bitty snapshots, and it's just amazing. It's like these people just completely left what they were doing. How cool is that? But you're going, that's not cool. I mean, is God telling me that discipleship is about abandoning my business? It's about hitting the road, leaving my family to fend for themselves? Of course not. Of course not. But when we get that picture in the Bible, and sometimes we bring it all the way up to 2014, we're wondering, what does that mean? You know, through this journey, we're going to find out. We're going to find out what it is that you need to leave, what it is that you need to abandon so that you can follow Jesus Christ. So I am just compelled by Matthew's story, though. If you'll join me there, we find his history really takes place after Jesus had already started his ministry. Jesus had already turned the water into wine. He had already gone into the temple and cleared the temple of all these people that were selling things. He had done several miracles. But in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 9, this is Matthew talking. He says, as Jesus passed there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And here's what Matthew says of himself. So he rose and followed him. Now Luke tells us in his gospel, because we know that three out of the four gospels, this is written about what happened to Matthew. Luke says that Jesus saw a tax collector. Mark says that he saw Levi of Alphaeus, his formal name. You know what Matthew says? And this is where I hope that it'll kick with you and me. Matthew says, you know what? He just saw a man. Matthew knew who he was. Matthew knew what his reputation was. He knew what he did for a living. He knew what people thought of him, but he says in the records right here that Jesus saw a man. Listen, there may be a lot of people that can recognize you. I did a wedding last night. It's over at Woodward Park. They have this little park thing there, and they call it the barn, but it's just a botanical garden with all these weird-looking goldfish and stuff and everything. So I cut my finger. So I go, this is not cool. I shouldn't be bleeding during a wedding, so I went down there. By the way, it was nobody from our church, so if you didn't give a gift, don't worry about it. But, you know, I, I go, and I'm trying to find this napkin, and I walk in the door, and I said, excuse me, do you have a tissue? And that lady goes, you're Dave Mewburn. I go, I am so handsome, everybody knows me. I just can't get away from these people. Oh, help me, Jesus, you know. Just another paparazzi. No. She was in the youth group in Broken Arrow when I was at Wood Lake, and she knew through Kelly Goins and our events and camp and everything and all this other stuff. And I told her, I said, I sure am glad I'm behaving. So I got my tissue, went on it. But here, there's a lot of people that recognize us. Maybe a whole lot of people that know our name. Maybe somebody could pick you out in the crowd. But nobody knows you like Jesus. Nobody. Nobody. Your spouse, your mom, your dad, nobody knows you like Jesus. Let me tell you what Matthew was. He was a Jew, first of all. He was a tax collector, secondly. Now, those people were very despised. He was rich and he was popular. You know why? He had a lot of friends because he was rich, and that's what made him popular. But we look at Matthew's life, and probably he was probably a lonely person. He was despised by the Pharisees. You know there was always somebody talking about him. They walked around him. You know, they had lepers in the day of Jesus, and lepers were by law demanded that when somebody was coming out there that they would start crying unclean so that they would know that they were unclean and they could walk on the other side of the street from them. And that's the way that they treated people like Matthew as well. He was the same thing in the same category as a leper to the Pharisees. And what a sad place to be. There was no way that they wanted to be caught in his company. But we find this in Jesus says that he saw a man who needed a Savior. Why in the world did Jesus choose Matthew out of the crowd to follow him? He chose him for the same reason he chose you and I, because we need a Savior. This journey is not about who you are to Christ. It's about who Christ is to you. It's about the fact that we need a Savior. And isn't this cool? In verse 12 and 13, Jesus defines his mission. He says, there are those who have that are well, but they don't need a physician. I have come to take care of the sick. I've come to find those people who need a physician, if you will, and give them medical attention. I have come to find those that need a Savior and to minister to them. The people who don't need a Savior, then you know what? I haven't come for them. Jesus had every reason in the world. He had all of the he needed to pass him by, but he didn't pass him by. What he did was he looked past everything that was in Matthew's life, the things that he did, his reputation, the life that he lived. I have no idea. You know, all we know is he's a tax collector. So by title, he was a bad guy. Now, if I've never told you this before, I know I've mentioned it several times. The tax collectors were hated so bad, not because they were associated with the IRS of that nation. That's bad enough, okay? But what they did was, see, they worked for the Romans. The Romans were the ones issuing the tax. The tax collectors would add a little bit on top of that. And then they would give Rome their portion, and they would keep the rest. And that's why he was so rich. And you know what? The Romans said, I don't care what you do, just as long as we get our money. So that's why he was so despised. People didn't like him whatsoever. But Jesus looked past all of that. Sound a little familiar? You remember what you looked like when you heard Jesus say, follow me? Really? Do you remember that? Some of us can remember because that was a night and day circumstance. We were living, we were in darkness. Our attitudes, the words that came out of our mouth, the things that went into our body, the attitudes that we had, the literature around, the people that we were hanging around, was very obvious. We were living in darkness. And Jesus said, follow me, and we stepped into the light. And we've never been the same since. Never been the same since. Have you ever noticed God seems to do the most with the most unlikely? He seems to take these people that would have never been picked out of the crowd. I promise you, you line up everybody in that city, Matthew probably would have been one of the last ones picked. Anybody remember kickball? Yeah, that's all. I find. Line up against the wall. Hey, I was a coach one time. I thought, okay, we're going to erase it. This is just stupid, okay? So what we're going to do, okay, I get two captains and say, okay, you pick which kid goes to the other team. Duh. So then they pick the lousy ones first. I go, oh, yeah, you're horrible. You go over here. I go, that didn't work the way I really planned it. I was trying to reverse the circumstances there, and it just doesn't work. Matthew would have never been picked out of the lineup. There's a lot of, you and I probably wouldn't have been picked out of the lineup, but yet here we are. You know what? Isn't isn't Stephen a handsome young man? Well, I would just, I look at him, I'm going, why in the world would someone who looks like he has those abilities, if I looked at their family, I'm going, I would just go, you know, and I could see them in a lot of different settings, but if I didn't know them, the last thing I would do would assume would that they would want to take their babies and serve the Lord in a country like the country they're in. I'm sorry, I didn't see any McDonald's in those pictures. I didn't see anything that I got to have. There was this one picture that looked like pizza, but I don't think that was pizza. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going, but Jesus looked right past all of the things that said no about Matthew, and he said yes. So why did Jesus choose someone like Matthew, a tax collector? Why did he take Peter, a fisherman, and you and me, and ask us to be disciples? Because we need a Savior. This journey is not about a lot of things that we need to do as a disciple more than it is that we need to have a Savior. And you know what? We need a Savior a lot more than Jesus needs disciples. So this isn't about sign up. We got to have a big list. Everybody's got to be on board. No, you just need to be on board with him. That's all that it's going to take. But Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say to Matthew, listen, I know you're a good person. I know you can do better. Listen, you need to change your ways. You need to clean up your act. All he said was, follow me. And here's the cool picture. I know we're focusing on Matthew, but it's also true for us today. He was saying, I'm calling you from this normal, what you call normal, to the abnormal. Now, abnormal may not be a good word, but when it talks about what Jesus is changing us from, my normal is usually not living for Christ, but then it is over here, it's about living for Christ in the abnormal. Crazy, wonderful, fabulous things happen when you serve the Lord. He was calling him from a sinful life, a life that was one of reputation and that people despised him, to a life that was saved. Now he's following the Savior. He's asking him to leave this life of self-reliance. This is all you can do? I mean, hey, surround yourself with all these people, but we know what happens when the riches go away. We know what happens when you don't have health anymore. You're done, unless you're serving the Master, unless you followed him in discipleship when he said, follow me. You know what? In short, he was calling him to a changed life. And there's a lot of us, we just want to be changed. We want it to be different. We've been there, done that, and we want what now the Lord can give us because we know what we have supplied. But Matthew had a choice because others refused God. Others said, I don't think so. Remember the rich young ruler? He came and he said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit heaven? And he said, well, here, you do these commandments. He said, I've done all of those since I was a kid. But what am I lacking? Obviously, he knew there was something missing. Jesus told him, take everything you've got, sell to the poor, give, and come follow me. And the Bible says that he walked away sad. He refused Jesus. You remember over in John, the 6th chapter, boy, disciples were flocking behind Jesus. Disciples, meaning followers, they were following Jesus in droves until all of the free lunches dried up. Until he started preaching about this is what it will take, this is what it will cost. You're going to have to carry a cross. And they knew what a cross was. You and I, a cross is just an emblem of Christianity. A cross is just a reference back to what Jesus died on. A cross in their day lined the roads of Jerusalem. A cross in their day, they saw it all the time. The Romans put up crosses and put people on them. And when Jesus said, you have to take up your cross and follow me, they said, I don't know. That sounds like an awful lot. I don't think I can do that. A lot of them did. But there were some that did. Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he? That's all I know, by the way. But Zacchaeus, he got up in a tree so he could see Jesus. Sycamore tree, by the way, according to the song. The Bible says, and when he saw Jesus, Jesus said, come down, I need to come to your house. Zacchaeus was so moved, he was so changed that he said, Lord, I am going to take the people that I've ripped off, and I'm going to give them four times back. Wow, what a change. You're talking about, that's a changed life right there. And that's what Jesus is calling all of us to do. But I'm amazed that Matthew left all that he had, and probably all he'd ever known, to follow Jesus. You know what? Here's the cool thing. What Jesus saw was his heart. I don't know if Matthew hung his head going, I can't believe this guy who does miracles, because without a doubt, you know that Matthew had heard of him, would even talk to me. I mean, you know, he's supposed to be a rabbi, a teacher. He has a few followers at this point. Why would he even pick me up? But you know, the Bible says that he just saw his heart and he was ready for an encounter with God. Are you ready for an encounter with God today? It's a very Big question. Simple answer. Are you ready for an encounter with God today? Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus is not impressed with what you and I have done up to this point. Nor is he discouraged because we failed him. And the things that we failed to do that we knew was right, but we didn't do it. We went ahead against all logic, common sense, and of course, even the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But we did it anyway. But Jesus just looks at your heart and he says, once again, two simple words, follow me. You've got your note card. You've got your bulletin. Let me tell you what to put in those spaces if you're a note taker. Here's what you can put. What did the disciples experience when they followed Jesus? This is one of the coolest words, and it's not that big of a deal. But what they experienced was acceptance. Somebody of clarity and significance gave them acceptance, and it was followed by an invitation. Listen, Peter was a fisherman. I don't know about you, but I've been to the wharf. It smells down there. And he was there every day. He probably didn't, you know, fraternize with all of the big wigs. He probably wasn't in the middle of town. He probably had one of those jobs that people think, you know, he comes home dirty every day. There's a little smell involved with it. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing that lacks reputation in being a fisherman. It's just, you know, you're probably not in the mainstream of the crowd. But Jesus saw him while he was preaching by the lake, and he said, Peter, follow me. The coolest thing is that that's exactly what he did. You see, he was accepted by the Lord. Here's Matthew, somebody that he knows who probably got shunned every day. People made fun of him. People talked about him. Nobody liked him. Yet Jesus said, Matthew, follow me. Boom. He got accepted. Do you realize that one of the greatest needs of man is acceptance? Hey, there's a lot of things all of us want. We want a good car. We want a great house. We want a tremendous marriage. We want everything to go our way. We want our team to win. We want to get a raise this week. We want this. We want that. We understand that. But you know what? One of the greatest needs you and I have is acceptance, that somebody will extend their hand and say, I accept you, with one word attached to that, unconditionally. And that's what Jesus did. So what did the disciples experience? Acceptance followed with an invitation. Follow me. Follow me. Well, look on down. What was Jesus teaching his disciples? That I'm looking at your heart a whole lot more than your history. You know, every time we get a little moved by God, the first thing that we start looking at is we take inventory of where we've been, what we've done, how unqualified we are. We start backstepping, going, oh, God, man, I don't know. I'm sorry. I do all these things. How many times have you come to an altar just like this, and before you pray for the thing that you want to pray for, you got to get right with God? Because we're trying to get to that point to where we're okay with God again. And God immediately starts with the opposite. All I'm looking at is your heart, not your potential. This isn't about what you could possibly be if you work hard and apply yourself. No, God does it instantly. The minute he said, follow me, and Matthew left the tax table, the minute he said, Peter, follow me, and he dropped the nets, that's when they became a disciple. Sure, there was some learning. Sure, there were some things they needed to observe. They walked with him for 3 years and still didn't get it right. How many of you have done it perfect from day one? But it's all about God looks at your heart. He could care less about your history because he's interested in changing your future. That's what this is all about. It's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. It's not about what you bring to the table. It's about what Jesus brings to you. Isn't that liberating? Isn't that a little exciting? It is to me. Because I tell you, even on my greatest day, I still find fault in what I do. And know I could have done better, but Jesus says, listen, I'm looking at your heart and I see something fabulous. The third thing there is, how should this change me today? Now we quit focusing on the disciples. We look at us. Here's the coolest thing. I wish I had a whole lot of definition. I wish I had specifics, but you know what? Jesus said this. There were two disciples that were following Jesus at John's insistence. He said, oh, there goes the Lamb of God. They began following Jesus. Jesus saw them and said, what are you seeking? And they said, oh, where are you staying? It's an indirect answer to a direct question. We're all looking for something, aren't we? You know what Jesus said? Come and see. Come and see. Yeah, come on, I'll show you. And that's what he does for. How does this change me today? It's not a whole dotted definition. It's not 1, 2, 3. It's not ABC. It's not here's where you start, this is where you finish. But it's Jesus saying, come and see. Come and see how exciting it would be for us to take the initiative to accept his invitation to follow me and go and see what he has for us. That's fabulous. It's exciting. Can you imagine what God really wants to do in your heart, in your life, in your family? Can you imagine the people that he wants to touch through you? But listen, the minute we start talking about discipleship, everybody somehow gets their mind, oh yeah, this is what I have to do to please God and others. Are you kidding me? God goes through you to touch them. God's going to bless you first. God's going to touch you first. God's not in the habit of going around you for the sake of others. God will go through you so that you get blessed, so that you can bless others. God is going to be your Savior so that you can tell others about the Savior. That's where this all goes. And we miss it so many times, we just don't see it. And here's the thing that we need to understand. Jesus said, listen, just simply be my disciple and follow me. I know that we don't always know exactly what we want. We're not sure, but I just know this much. And I guarantee I can speak for all of you. There just has to be more. There just has to be more. We're in a church, and we come, and we sing, and sometimes we get a little bump in our spirit, and sometimes we get a little excited, and it lasts for a couple days. But there's got to be more. There has to be something that kicks in, and in my heart, no matter what I'm going through, whether I'm sick or whether I'm healthy, whether I got a lot of money or not, whether everybody seems to be my friend or I can't find a friend, there has to be more, something that really gives me significance. And there is. It's Jesus who said, follow me, come and see. You know what the cool part about that is? It's open-ended. Here's the other thing about it. I'm not saying you come and see what I have for you, because I'm limited. But Jesus is unlimited. The problem is most of us go into discipleship with blinders on our eyes. And he has blessings. And he has miracles. I heard this the other day. I thought it was the coolest thing I'd heard in a long time. If you follow Jesus long enough, you're probably going to run into a miracle. If you follow Jesus long enough, you're probably going to see a miracle. How many times have we gotten this close? We just right there, and we just got tired, or we got weary, or we got distracted, or we got discouraged, and we didn't see it. Jesus says, follow me, and I'll show you things you'll never see. You'll never see on your own, never experience it on your own. Can I just tell you, we have the benefit of the Bible. These disciples, they were going blind. They're probably like most of you today. We're going, I'm not exactly sure what this is. And many of us have been in this forever. But you know what? It's not that there's another level and God's been keeping you down here. Now we want to go up here. This isn't about there's another step. There's about a whole brand new life that God wants to give us if we will accept his challenge and join the journey and become his disciple. So here's what I want you to do today. Hear his heart speaking to your heart and hear those words in your imagination, Jesus saying, follow me. And go ahead and ask the follow-up question. Jesus, what does that mean? And hear him again saying, come and see. Come and see. And if that's you, in just the next few moments, I'm going to say a prayer. And when I say amen, I want you to rise from your seat. I want you to walk as close as you can to the front. And I want you to join the journey. You see, a lot of us want to sit and wait instead of go. We want to sit back and wonder instead of coming and seeing. You're the only one that can make that decision. But God has something so cool for all of us if we'll be bold enough and courageous enough to accept his invitation. I know you want me to fill out that card. So what's the change in me? Well, I got a lot of suggestions for all of you, to be honest with you. You got a lot of suggestions for me. But that's not about it, is it? It's about what God wants to do in us. Father, I pray in the next few moments that we will take the ending minutes of this service and turn it into a period of action. That symbolically, when we leave our seat and we walk to the front of this church, whether we bow on our knee or whether we stand, I pray, oh God, that we will be transformed to someone who has been wondering, to somebody who is now wondering what is going to happen now. Because I heard Jesus say, follow me. And I don't know what that means, but he has also followed it up by saying, come and see. I pray, Father, there's a spirit of anticipation in our life. And God, if the very thing that we think is keeping us back is sin, then I pray, God, we'll bring our sin to this altar. We'll say, God, forgive me For the thing I need today is a Savior who will save me. But we also need a Savior who will minister to me. He will take me forward. I want to be a disciple. I'm tired of just being a Christian. I'm tired of, now that I know that somehow just going to heaven is cool, but God, there's so much more you want down here. And I want to be a part of that. I'm hungry for what you have for your disciples. And I want to be one of them. So Father, today, collectively, but more importantly, individually, we are going to follow you. And we can't wait to see what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in this altar. Stand to your feet. Come and stand and be a part of this group of people stepping out, taking on this journey, wondering with it's okay that the big question mark lurks before you, because God's going to fill in the blanks. All you're doing is committing to Him today. You're not doing anything for this pastor. You're not joining the church. You're not giving an offering anymore. What you're doing is you're following Jesus. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Here we are. We've come, Lord. I don't know what the disciples' faces looked like when they followed you, but I have a feeling there was something that was driving them that had nothing to do with logic, had nothing to do with emotion. It just had this sense of urgency that I have to follow this man. He does miracles, sure. He's a rabbi, sure. He's a teacher, sure. But something clicked. And now, Father, after a short period of time, they were exposed to the Savior. It wasn't about this is your first lesson. It wasn't about read this book. It wasn't about homework. It was about walking in the footsteps of the Savior. And they changed the world. Now, God, I'm praying that today you will change our world. As we spend this time or the next few moments at this altar, continuing to just call out to you, I pray, God, begin to answer that question, follow. What are we going to see? What are we going to experience? And it may be undefined, Lord, but just establish in our heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise.